الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected Ulama Ikram, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the easy deen to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this age, every person feels that I am on the right. You ask any person who professes that he is Muslim, then he will say that I am on the right, my group is on the right, and my section is on the right, the others are not on the right. In the eyes of Sharia, we'll have to analyze, first of all, broadly speaking, who is on the right, who is on the wrong, and also what are the criteria to measure who is on the right, who is on the wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us down here, and He has not left us just like that. The wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quality, is all doing. And our deen, as I mentioned, is perfect and easy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us here, sent Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And together with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us definite guidelines as to who is on the right, who is on the wrong. And every individual, whether he belongs to the Christian faith, Hinduism, Judaism, Zoroastrianism, Buddhism, he also feels that he is on the right also. And he feels he is gaining proximity to the Creator. If you ask them also, they'll say, you see, we are also going towards or gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Creator or whatever they call the Creator. So broadly speaking, the haysiyat insan, as human beings, if we stand and look, then we will see around us three divisions. How this works: one is the Christians, the Jews, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Zoroastrians, and all these groups. That's group number A for us to understand. And secondly, group number B are the Qadianis, the Shias, the Aga Khanis, the Ismailis, the Zikri Firqa, the Ahle Quran come in that group B. And group number C, the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, the Ahle Hadith, the Ghair Mukallif, the Salafi, the Ahle Bidat, and all group A, group B, group C, each one of that group or those groups, they say we are on the right. Any person affiliated to any one of them to say, you see, I am on the right. But Islam has left us with certain criteria. Allah's Nabi has left us with certain criteria. And we as human beings, we as sensible Muslims, must analyze them, look at them carefully, study them, and see, are we conforming to the criteria laid out by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? It must not happen that we wake up and realize that we were aligned ourselves to the wrong group. And in order for you and I to reach a proper, sensible, valid conclusion, then we must set aside emotions and sentiments and feelings. Then inshallah, if we are focused upon the criteria laid down by Sharia, we'll come to a proper, valid conclusion. But no sooner you and I involve in argumentation or sources of argumentation, emotion and sentiment, then definitely wrong conclusions we are going to make. Let us take the first group, group A. You and I know in principle that the Jews cannot be on the right, the Christians cannot be on the right, the Hindus cannot be on the road of salvation, the Zoroastrians cannot be those who are successful. And these groups, the group A that I'm talking about, the reason basically why they are not on the right can be watered down to 4 or 5 reasons. Number one, that they do not have a universal message. If you look at their system and their ideology and their belief structure and their propagating methods and their message itself, they do not have a universal message for mankind. And they don't claim this also. They don't claim we have got a universal message. Only Islam claims that we have got a universal message. And also, number two, they do not claim they have got a universal Nabi. And we as Muslims claim, in the light of Quran and Hadith, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is universal. He is kafatan lil nas. He is sufficient for human beings. He is rahmatul lil alameen. He is a mercy unto the entire mankind. And his nabuwat and his risalat is not restricted to any country, any area, or any place. Nabuwat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got no boundaries, physical boundaries. In fact, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for the jinnat and mankind. Thirdly, all those Christians, Jews, Hindus, etc., they do not have their divine scriptures intact. Only we as Muslims, we have got Quran al-Kareem, which is not interpolated. There is no additions or subtraction in Quran al-Kareem. And the Huffaz are the living proof that Quran al-Kareem is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fourthly, that our being is complete. When we say complete, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us everything. How to behave in the masjid, in the jamaat khana, outside, even how to go to toilet, even how to visit the wife, even how to please the wife, and every aspect of Islam has been taken care for. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the person who understood also the scriptures. Once the Jews mocked at him and told him that, oh Salman, that your Nabi teaches you petty things. Your Nabi teaches you petty things. Trying to now degrade Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, run down the Sharia and belittle the Sunnah, all in one sentence. That your Nabi teaches you petty things. And unfortunately, we are also target and fall prey to impurity complex also.
says, a Muslim, he does not want to show his identification. We as Muslims have to display our identification and behave like Muslims under all circumstances. And a Muslim has to behave 24 hours a day like a Muslim in order to project Islam. Respected elders, but Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala who recorded, he said that definitely Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more affectionate to us than our own fathers. But because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a spiritual father and he is teaching us everything. And Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu added that he even teaches us how to go to toilet. He even teaches us how to go to toilet. And I knew, alhamdulillah, an educated Muslim, well aware of Sharia, and your knowledge is quite vast, that you know that in Islam, that when you go to toilet, in summer you wash differently, and in winter you wash differently. You know that by now, inshallah. And if you do not know that, then you must realize how much you know. In Islam, in Sharia of Islam, it is so minute that the man, when he goes to toilet, he washes differently, and the female, when she goes to toilet, she washes differently. And when you go to toilet in summer, you wash differently, in winter, you wash differently. And just to ask you a question, that when you're going to toilet, you have been going for the last 30, 40 years to toilet, and when you pass out school and you wash, how you know you clean? How you know you clean? Or you just wash and you come away? So for 30 years you wash your posterior, you don't know whether it's clean. And everyone will say, I'm scholar of Islam. To say I'm scholar of Islam, every Muslim is ready to say that. Inshallah, you come to one of our, the next bayat, I'll tell you how to wash your posterior. So Islam has detailed everything. There is no other Sharia, or there is no other way of life, be it Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, whatever it is, will tell us that amount of detail. No one. So the Christians, we will say, like that Isa alayhi salam did not marry, he does not, and he has not explained to anybody what is married life and what are the responsibilities of married life. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed through all stages. The youth stage, the stage of husband, the stage of having multiple wives, then he became a grandfather, all that. So every stage Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed through, giving us a complete deen to look at. It is our responsibility to look and study, sit with the ulama, sit in the company of the righteous and piety, and seek knowledge. So group A we have now removed from the scene. And also group A, the Christians never say we are Muslims, or the Hindus don't say we are Muslims, and the Jews do not say we are Muslims, and the Zoroastrians do not say we are Muslims. So from that angle also they come off the scene. Group B, the Qadianis, the Shias, the Ismailis, the Aghakhanis, the Boris, they are very dangerous. Because externally they give the impression that they are Muslim, but believe you, like Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said, when someone asked him about the Shias, that are the Shias Muslim? Are they in the fold of Islam? So he replied, when they entered the fold of Islam? When did they enter the fold of Islam to be taken out of the fold of Islam? Respected elders, so these groups, for example, if you have to look at the Qadianis, externally they are looking like Muslims, but they are perfect kafirs, and they are pure Jahannamis. The Shias, the Boris, and Ismaili, Aga Khanis, etc., they also want to present themselves like Muslims and claim that they are Muslims, whereas they got nothing to do with Islam. The criteria of remaining and becoming
and maintaining your membership in Islam is belief, and externally is a sign that you are Muslim. Respected elders, our ulama ikram, those days they should go with the ship to go and study India, Pakistan. And some of our ulama were very confused. We were the students and first time going onto that ship. So when they were going on the first trip, they were fasting few people. These people had turbans, beards, and they had kurtas on. So every time they pass these people, they greet them, Assalamu alaikum. And these people are not greeting back. So in the evening, when the young potential alim, they sit in their cabinets and discuss, see, very funny, Molana is this, they don't even greet back. They got turban on the head, beard, kurta, they don't greet. Then, next day or so, they see how this Molana has got turban on and he's got beard. It's walking with short pants on the deck. So this is very funny, Molana, this is walking with short pants on the deck. So they discuss in the evening, now what's happening to these Molanas? Are we on the right ship, going in the right direction? Then after a few days, they see this so-called fellow, turban on his head, beard on his face, kurta, and lying drunk on the deck. These are very modern Molanas, they're drunk on the deck here. So they ask them, what's wrong with you? First of all, you don't greet us. Then you walk me around with short pants, and now you're drunk. So what kind of Muslims are you? They say, we are not Muslims, we are Sikhs. You have to see the Sikh. He's got the same thing. Serpent, beard, kurta. Respected elders. That is perfect stuff here in our eyes. So these people also, externally they may look like Muslims. The Qadianis, the Shias, the Agathadis, the Ismailis, and so on. And also here I want to mention the Ahle Quran. The Ahle Quran is a group that has come out in Pakistan. They claim that Quran is sufficient for me. And Quran is sufficient. Allah Ta'ala sent out Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and gave the Quran. We don't require any other thing. We do not require the Sunnah, we do not require the Hadith, we only require the Quran. And their movement has also reached some portions of South Africa. And they say, no, we do not require to follow Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's pattern of life. But this group here, I have classified them as Group B. Why? Because they are out of the fold of Islam. A person cannot be a Muslim when he rejects the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A person cannot be a Muslim when he rejects the Hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A person cannot be a Muslim if he says the Quran is only sufficient for me. Otherwise, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala should have taken the Quran and left it on a mountain and told us, go and look at the Quran. And everybody should have went to the Quran and picked it up and trying to understand it. One person in one country, he had this belief, and we had opportunity to discuss and talk to him. So he made salah to us, and after that the discussion started. So I asked him that, you see, you made namaz. He said, yes. I said, you made Isha salah. He said, yes. I said, we made Isha 4 rakat salah. He said, yes. I said, you stood up first. He said, yes. Then you went in ruku. He said, yes. Then you went in sijda. And you made 2 sijdas. And the whole procedure of salat, I rehearsed with him. He said, yes. I said, now tell me in the Quran, show me everything in the Quran that Isha is supposed to be 4 rakat, Maghrib 3 rakat, Asr 4 rakat, Zuhar 4 rakat, Fajr 2 rakat. Show me in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you must stand up first, then you must go to ruku, then you must make 2 sijdas. Show me in the Quran all this. Show me in the Quran that when you stand up, you must read Surah Fatiha and another surah. Show me in the Quran in ruku, you must read your tasbihat. Show me in the Quran that this sequence you must follow. show me in the Quran how you must make wudu. Show us in the Quran that how you must give zakat, how you must calculate zakat, on what you must give zakat, on what you should not give zakat. Show us in the Quran that you must go for Hajj in the particular manner prescribed by Sharia, that you must go from Makkah to Mina, then from Mina to Arafat, Arafat to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah to Mina, Mina to back for Tawaf al-Ziyarah. Show us in the Quran all these things. And if you cannot show, that means Quran is not sufficient, not only therefore guidance, you have to use the Sunnah. Sunnah is essential. Sunnah is essential, integral part of deen. And a warning has to be given that if you mock at the Sunnah or you laugh at the Sunnah, you go out of the fold of Islam. If you mock at a person who has got a beard, and to keep a beard is wajib, it is compulsory, it is Sunnah of Anbiya alayhi salam, but it is wajib. If you mock at the smallest of smallest Sunnah you mock at, you go out of the fold of Islam. And we have taken the Sunnah very lightly these days. That is why Sunnah is not coming in our houses, in our firms, in our factories. Why? Because we have taken Sunnah that says, stand outside my house, don't come inside my house. In fact, we have taken the whole of Islam, and we have told the whole of Islam that you stay in the masjid, the Jamaat Khana. As soon as I leave the Jamaat Khana, I'm someone else. We have taken Islam and said, you stay outside my shop, you stay outside my firm, you stay outside my house, you stay outside my factory. And then on top of that, we want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend upon us. And the method and the rate that we as South Africans are performing as Muslims, that it is due that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hovering over us. And we are taking no lesson of what has happened all around our country. The floods around our country, the azab around our country, and the azab in the neighboring countries and the neighboring portions of the world. We as Muslims in South Africa, we are just having a lackadaisical attitude in life, a lazy, complacent attitude, and we think we are going to go to Jannah. And you and I, especially I, we think that Jannah is my father's backyard, private property, I'll reach there sometime or the other. It's time to wake up and realize that our women folk should be in parda, our women folk should be in hijab, our women folk should be dressing properly, we should be behaving properly. Our transactions are illegal, our transactions are steeped in interest, we are enveloped in interest, and still we want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every Muslim will claim, no, I'm going to Jannah, I'm performing so well that I'm reaching Jannah. Our education level is so low that we do not know it. How many of us do not know how to wash ourselves in the toilet? The special elders, so we divided, what we divided? We divided group A, we divided people into group A, group B, group C. Group A, those Christians, etc., are gone. Group B, they are out also. Group C remains. In group C, we get the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat, the Salafis, the Ghair Mutallids, the Ahl al-Bidatis, that will include now other groups, those who have aligned to the Deoband School of Thought, those who are aligned to Jalalabad, those who are aligned to Dabel, those who are aligned to Takeshwar, those who are aligned to any Darulum, those who are aligned to the Bareilly School of Thought, all those, inshallah someday I will come and start explaining to you that group, how you get a criteria. But the criteria is, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the Bani Israel were divided into 72 groups, my group will be divided into 73. Sahaba Ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah, which is the group of salvation? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, all the groups are going to hell except one. Nabi Sahaba inquired, which is the group that is of salvation? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, wa ma'ana alayhi wa sahabi, that group which I am upon and my Sahaba. So the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Sunnah of the Sahaba is the criterion for right and wrong, for Islam and non-Islam, for salvation and not salvation, for Jannat and Jahannam, for truth and falsehood. for salvation in a piety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice deen and become good, righteous Muslims. Tonight we are speaking in Glenin Road Masjid. After Isha, the topic will be that why we follow one imam, make the plea. People these days say, no, you don't have to follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Hanbal. Why must you follow any of these imams? Tonight I will be discussing that with question and answers. Everyone is welcome. And inshallah, on Monday in Petersburg, Central Masjid, Tuesday in Ikopo, Sunday, I do not know whether it's confirmed yet. Maybe when it's confirmed, we'll tell you tonight. Another platform. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.